yes, welcome back. Well, I repeat, said Tin Cup. What's the catch? David Sims said, we're playing Cottonwood, where you once shot a 61, where you can still shoot a 65 in your sleep because you know every bump on the fairway and every subtle break on every green. Why am I reading you a quote from Tin Cup? Well, because we haven't heard much about Brooks Koepka and his preparation for the British Open. Haven't heard much at all. And he came out and said, I'll get there on Monday. I'll look at my sight lines. On Tuesday, I'll decide where I want to hit it and where I want to miss it, and we'll be ready to go. I'll play nine holes every day, and it's no big deal. He has a secret weapon, my friends. His caddy, Ricky Elliott, grew up at Royal Portrush and knows every bump on every green and every reed there is. And so as cool as Koepka's going to play it, he has a secret weapon.
Well, you have the intangible, too, as an advantage. You have all the other players and caddies kind of jealous. Like, hey, this guy's really got an advantage.
Absolutely. All right, let's welcome in our great guest, Ron Cyrak. Are you there, my friend? Come in, Ron.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron, for joining us. Tim Cusick, Courtney Cannell, and Brady Tinker here. And always enjoy having you on the show and love following you in social media and your writings. And we want to kind of jump in and get your perspective on a couple of things. We definitely want to talk about the Open Championship, but I'd like to get your perspective relative to this season's schedule on the men's PGA Tour, where we had a championship major event every month, starting with the Players. Do you see this as a good thing or a possible negative thing with everyone struggling with their schedule and not playing and resting? Your perspective.
I think overall it's a good thing. I think it's going to have a hurtful impact on some of the, and the PGA Tour doesn't like when I use this phrase, second-tier events, but, you know, it is going to cause those scheduling conflicts that you talk about and make people pick and choose a little bit more judiciously. But the idea of having significant events in March, April, May, June, July, and then ending the season in August before football season begins is going to help in the next TV negotiation for the PGA Tour. You know, once they start going up against college and pro football in September into October, it's tough for them. And so I do think it's a good thing that they're going to get everything that matters in golf out of the way before September.
Ron, Tim Cusick here. Rory McIlroy is the betting favorite at 8-1. You've got a guy named Tiger Woods that sits at 16-1 that has just landed in Ireland. He's on the grounds playing with Patrick Reed, a practice round. It's going to rain this week. The temperatures are going to be in the low 60s as a high and lows in the 50s. How do you assess his chances?
Well, you know, really oddly, Rory McIlroy says he doesn't like Lynx golf and he doesn't like playing in bad weather. You know, it's why he doesn't live there anymore. I've always found those two things very strange about him. I think he's the betting favorite because he's the local guy, you know, and that's the way things are going to go. I always thought, and if you had asked me a year ago, is Tiger Woods going to win a major again? I would have said his best chance to win a major will be in the Open Championship, because I think that those are the kinds of courses where he can leave the driver in the bag, and that's the weakest club that he's got right now. And, I mean, you know, we saw him win at Hoy Lake, Royal Liverpool, where he hit one driver in 72 holes. I expect to see him attack the course similar that way. You know, when you were talking about Koepka's caddy, you know, on these British Open golf courses, you got to know your run out yardages. You got to know carry distances on every bunker, and there's always a bazillion of them. So the local knowledge is really going to be important.
Keegan Bradley was asked what he remembered about Royal Portrush, because in 2012 he played the Irish Open there, and he said, quote, don't remember really anything. The weather was so friggin' bad, we went through 10 umbrellas. Every time I turned around, the umbrella was turning inside out, and we were getting blown away like Dorothy. I don't remember hardly anything. If that happens, this will be kind of cool, because apparently there is 50s and 60s degrees and plenty of potential rain in the forecast.
Which is, you know, some Europe has been having a real heat wave for about a month, and then boom, this all of a sudden it's going to happen. Like, I was at Muirfield when on a Saturday when Tiger got blown off the course and shot an 81 or 82. I don't remember what it was, but it was in the 8. It began with an 8, And that happens. There's no tournament where the luck of the draw is as impactful as it is at the British Open. I remember being at Turnberry one year, and on Thursday, we had all four seasons in the same day, you know, and that can happen. You can go out early and have fine weather, and then the afternoon wave goes out and they get blown off the golf course. So the luck of the draw is just the huge wild card in an Open championship.
Ron, will you be on site next week? And if not, have you been to Royal Portrush before?
I will not be on site next week, and I haven't been there. I'm leaving to go to the Women's Avion Championship in France and followed up by the Women's British Open.
That's not too bad.
Woburn.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see Angela Stanford defend her title. That was such a dramatic win last year and a very emotional win, and it'll be fun to watch that as well.
You know, it used to be lined up so it would go a Men's British Open, Avion Championship, Women's British Open, and that was my favorite 3 weeks of the year, covering events right now. But doesn't go the same way. Everything that I hear about, you know, Royal Portrush is in the top 10 on virtually every list of golf courses I've ever seen. So you know, I haven't been there, but the word of mouth reputation certainly precedes it.
Ron, we're just a couple of minutes here before we go to break. I wanted to get your perspective. It was very disappointing to the fans to see again Michelle Wee with a injury and dropping out for the rest of the year. Do you have any type of gut feeling? Is she going to return, or do you think this could be a chronic issue?
Well, I think this is massively important for her. I think for the first time ever, she's probably taking enough time off to get healthy. And remember, when Tiger Woods finally took enough time off to get healthy, he got healthy. So maybe she can come back. But my feeling is, if she comes back next year and she has more physical issues early in the year, I would not be surprised if that's it for her. You know, she's been out there a long – you know, I was thinking about the other day, I've been covering her for 16 years. To say that about a 29-year-old is astounding. She's engaged to be married now. There are other things in her life that make her happy, and it just may be that the grind of this and the constant injuries and illnesses have worn her down. I'm glad that she's taken time off. I think it's her only chance to be able to come back.
Ron, one more for you. We've been talking earlier in the show about Matthew Wolf, Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa. What's your take on these three guys and what they've done in the last 6 weeks?
Well, I think we're seeing a couple of things in there that are really interesting, which is one, again, the Tiger Woods effect of not only are younger, more talented athletes coming out on tour, they come out with a belief system that they can win. You know, Tiger Woods shattered that myth, and then people like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas followed him down the road, and Rory McIlroy, and started winning at a younger age. I also find it fascinating that the homemade swing is sort of making a little bit of a comeback, you know, right now, and I think we're seeing more of that. I think we went through a generation of players who fell in love with the golf swing and learned the swing, but didn't really learn the game. And you know, I'll to throw some names out there, you know, Adam Scott and Luke Donald and Charles Howell III are all people with amazing, amazing technique who never quite became what we thought they were going to be because they forgot that the point of the game is to get the ball in the hole. And I think we're seeing guys coming along now who know how to get the ball in the hole.
Ron Cyrak was the senior writer for Golf Magazine and editor for Golf World all at the same time for over 20 years. 2015 PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award winner, 2015 Lincoln Worden Journalism Award winner, and it is always also, by the way, author of three books. Is it three, or have you written another one?
No, three with the Vision 54 people, yeah.
Terrific. It is always our pleasure to have you on this show. We so appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Have a good week, buddy.
Thanks, Ron.
Anytime, thank you, Ron. Guys.
Good follow on social media, guys.
Absolutely. Do you know, is it at Ron Cyrak? We'll look that up for
We'll look that up,
yes.
Look,
when we come back from the tips, a tip for you to take with you out on this hot day other than have your sunscreen and your water, why you hit the ball on the toe of the club and what you need to do about it. From Tim Cusick and Courtney Cannell, when return to the Pro Shop on ESPN Radio 103.3 FM.